I am very fascinated by the war in Ukraine. Not any kind of like morbid curiosity kind of way where I just want to like, you know, see what happens with the violence. Not at all. Actually, it's from, well, I mean, to be plainly honest, I didn't ever think that there would be this kind of a war happening in my lifetime. You know, I've seen World War II documentaries and things like that, and there's an interest there, just the strategics of war and the details and how things proceed. But I didn't think I would ever have a time where something like that was happening, where I could read regular updates about, oh, the battlefield did this, and there's a big operation happening in this way. So I read about it, I pray for it, pray for those people there. I often have for the peace in Ukraine, the conversion of Russia, in my mass prayer intentions, in the universal prayers rather, because it is, yeah, an incredible thing that's happening and human suffering and really going to affect the world stage. But there's something that's fascinating about that too, in a bigger picture, in thinking about the people involved. Putin, the Russian president, is a broken, broken man for sure. Now, he thinks, you know, he, in his own mind, I am sure, he is rich and powerful and strong, but he is actually weak and terrified and afraid. You can see it in the way that he has the classic strong man situation, where he has everything revolving around him and everyone tells him what he wants to hear, but then by his behavior, we can see that his defensiveness and his attacking others to try and protect himself. You know, I'm not going to get into the meaning of the war and, you know, right or not, or what the history of Russia and Ukraine, I don't know those things. But we can see by his actions and the whole situation that there is a huge amount, is defined by his brokenness. Everything he does is coming from some desire, some need that is not being met. Now, he has chosen to fulfill that desire, that need to solve this problem by being the all-powerful commander of a great country who gets everything that he wants and seeks to take over things and uses violence to get it. But he's not a happy man. There's no way that he is a happy man. He might convince himself that he is. He might say that he is. He might shout loud that he is a happy man. But Putin is a broken, scared, wounded man who is obviously living out of that brokenness. Now, does it excuse what he's doing? Absolutely not. But it's fascinating, and, you know, especially someone as a priest concerned for souls, because these sorts of things apply on a lower level too. All kinds of people around the parish and in ministry are extremely broken too, and live out of that. Thankfully, few of them have access to the machine of war, but there is so many broken people who are out there living out of that. What does he really want? Well, objectively, outwardly, he says that he wants to, you know, denazify Ukraine or whatever that means. But actually, he wants what everyone wants: to be loved and understood. That's what everybody wants: to be loved, to be understood, to be cared for, to be received by others. That's what we all want. You know who else wants to be loved and understood? The controversial group that the LA Dodgers honored last Friday. Now, is there mockery of Catholic faith and Catholic religious life an innocent and acceptable thing? Absolutely not. But it's really, really, really worth asking, how did it get to this point? Because people don't do this kind of thing, they don't become that kind of group just out of the blue one day. And just to be clear, I am not even touching on the topic, entering into, addressing at all Pride Month, LGBTQ stuff. That's not the angle here at all. But I'm simply looking at the frankly, insulting mockery of the Catholic things that was going on. And it's worth saying, it's a really offensive double standard that if this were Jews or Muslims or some other ethnic group, and they were using that as the background for what they were doing and treating it the way that they've treated the Catholic faith, there would be absolute outcry all around the world about this. It would be a massive problem. But because it's Catholics, well, you know, it's okay, they get a pass. Which is to Catholics deeply insulting and offensive, but we are supposed to just bear that. But that aside, the question of these people is very often, it's like, well, how dare they do that? And that's such a big problem. And it is a big problem. But what so often gets missed is seeing them as the human beings that they still are. Again, no one comes around to this kind of situation just out of the blue one day. These aren't happy, whole, healthy people that behave this way. But we have to consider that. It's so easy to point fingers and just say, well, yes, this is a problem, and how dare they do that? Yes, very often, how dare they do that? In a broad sense, you know, I can see it around here. You know, this prisoner does this sort of thing, and how could they possibly do that? Well, you know, that thing shouldn't have been done. But to just leave it at that, as if they were just sitting around one day thinking, okay, how can I do things that people aren't going to like? How could I become a problem today? No one does that. That's not a thing that people sit around and you know, no one schemes to be out to get you. I hear that time and time, like, oh, this person is, you know, they're just trying to make my life miserable. No, they are not. They are not sitting out in the morning while drinking their coffee saying, okay, how can I make her life bad today? No one's doing that. What they are doing is acting out of, living out of, processing in some way, injuries they've received, you know, bad times they've had in their life, you know, who knows what in their past that has made them who they are now, and that means they might do insensitive, rude, even awful things, things that people might be like, you know, why, what are you doing? Why is that happening? And again, most of the, you know, we should, I'm not trying to excuse bad behavior. It needs to be addressed. But it's also, if we want to address it in a meaningful way, ask, well, how did it get that way? What led this person to become that kind of person? What brokenness do they have that needs to be honestly addressed? How they need to be received and understood in a more meaningful way? With all of these news stories, the two I've referenced so far, there are so many angry news articles, comment threads, podcasts and YouTube videos, I'm sure as well, that are diagnosing and pointing fingers at all of this. But do all of those angry articles consider the humanity of those whom they are written about? Do they pray for those people? Are the actions considered in the bigger context, or are they just treated like, oh, they just out of the blue when they decided to do this offensive or this violent thing? The comment warriors, the article writers, and the article hate read the people who read the articles with kind of a I'm going to read it to soak in how mad I am about this. Isn't that also a kind of brokenness? Isn't that also a desire to have my own satisfaction to be superior and connect in a certain way and to feel a certain way about myself, to be justified and self-righteous? Isn't that a bit of brokenness at play there too? As I've maintained all along, yes, things need to be addressed. I'm not at all saying that we should just, you know, put blinders on or just whitewash over everything that we don't want to deal with. We need to have real discussions. But there's a difference between having a real meaningful discussion and shouting and yelling and, you know, angrily sharing news articles to everyone that we can possibly share it with. There's a difference there. And it's worth asking, am I, in my response to these broken people, whatever they may be, all around the world, all kinds of stuff that's going on, am I having my own brokenness that I'm responding, that I'm acting out of? Because, I mean, just to be honest, just to be thinking about myself in the past, I have been an obscene, not obscene like in language usage, but like an obnoxious, let's say that, comment warrior and trying to fix all the world's problems by sharing and posting and arguing on massive long messages. And I don't think I changed anyone's mind for the better. I thought it was going to make me feel better. I wanted to be seeming to be somebody important, seeming to be somebody who had the situation under control. I was living out of my own uncertainty, my own brokenness of who I was and what I was about. And so I was trying to figure it out at the, honestly, expense of other people. So it's important to ask that question whenever we encounter difficult things, things that we don't like, things that make us upset. Are those people, you know, what's their brokenness? What is the way that they perhaps could be better responded to? You know, if we want to really address an issue, do we say, well, you're bad? Or do we say, you know, this is not a good thing, but tell me how you came here. What is it like that brought you to this point? You know, let's back all the way up to the beginning. I bet if there were somebody earlier on in Putin's life who was a genuine good friend, who helped him make better choices instead of becoming what he is today, I mean, the world would be a much different place even at this very specific moment, right? On the other hand, how many horrible people who we might be talking about didn't become that because someone saw humanity in them and said, you know what, I'm going to connect with this person. I'm going to see them for who they really are and get to actually know them. I bet there's a lot, so thanks be to God for those people. On the whole, it's easy to point fingers and say, you know, how dare you, this is all wrong. And I'm trying to avoid doing that here. Rather to say, let's ask the question, in addition to, well, what was wrong? Well, how did we get here? How is this person the way they are? And enter into that. Because, again, speaking from a ministry standpoint, people in my office in the confessional, step one is acknowledging the problem. But that's the basic work. That's easy. Anybody can recognize a problem and even say, like, oh, well, you know, stop doing that. Okay, fine. But to ask, okay, well, why is this happening? What's the root cause of that? How did we get there? How did you get there? How did we get here? How did I get here? And then we can cut that off before it gets to that point. You know, I tell people all the time, okay, you have this temptation, this sin you struggle with. I bet you can recognize what leads you to that sin. Like, what are the preceding steps? Oh, yeah, I get it. Okay, well, let's do something about it at the preceding steps, not just say, oh, well, don't do that once you get there, right? You have to take a light example. If someone cannot stop gossiping, and that's like a really heavy sin for them, and they just can't avoid doing it, you know, they just compulsively gossip. Well, we don't say, well, when you just don't do that. Well, it's probably not going to work. But what we say is, okay, before you go into the room, what's your goals in the conversation? What are you going in there for? You know, do you care about the people do you pray for the people you're going to talk to? Do you care about them as a friend? And if you frame it that way, to be like, okay, are you a happy whole person going into this conversation, or are you looking for something? Are you missing something that we can address before you get there? That makes a big difference, right? Or someone struggles with alcohol. It's not like, I mean, to say stop drinking, okay, we have to start there. But then the question is, well, why do you drink? What's the problem? What is it in your life that makes you want to have too much alcohol? Now we're actually getting somewhere to deal with the brokenness, which they might have, but we also have. And to recognize that, I think, goes a lot longer to fix the world's problems, which, of course, we have to start small in our own local place to fix problems, and then that affects the world. To recognize that it's not just that people wake up and go, ah, yes, I'm going to do bad things today. No one does that. But the bad things that are done come out of something earlier, something deeper down. And when we ask the question of, well, what is that? How did it get there? Then we actually get towards really helping people, really making a change, really getting to engage with the other in a meaningful way.